Thank you, Kyle. I'm going to talk about his prayer. He talked about comfort. One of the things I was thinking about last week, and if you want to talk about it later, I'll talk about it later, but our God is a God of comfort, and somebody was talking to me about that, and the verse I went to was, he has peace that passes all understanding, right? So what that means is we have a human intellect that's rational, and it can do what it's God's created us to do, but it is limited, it is finite. Even Thomas Jefferson, one of the smart people in the world, said that. He wrote about it a lot, about how our finite intellect. So what that verse means is, as much as we can rationalize and think, we can still be comforted in moments when someone that isn't a believer will not find that comfort. Amazing thing. It's just interesting. Providential you prayed that, and I was thinking about that this week. All right, let's jump into our vocabulary. So we do vocabulary in this class. We go through the sections, and we pick the different words. What's the reason we do that? We were talking about this. To understand it better. If you're reading a sentence and you don't understand the words, you're not going to get the same understanding. And I think about in mathematics, if you get behind in math class, anybody ever got behind in math class, you're done, right? Once you get behind, you're not catching up because you're missing those words or those phrases. So, example, corrupt means polluted, right? And we can spit that out because we've done that word how many times? A lot of times. What about, there it is, lowered morally, tainted, pollution, it comes from the Latin word, altogether broken, all the way, broken in every way, shape, form. What about rookery? Anybody know what rookery means? It's a process. What'd you say? It's a what? Process? So crow's nest. I said your process. crow's nest. Close, yeah. Rookery. Is that an East Coast term? No? Just the name for the... Okay. Her dad did a sculpture once of a rookery. So we now know it's a breeding grounds for a colony of forming seabirds and marine mammals, a dense collection of housing, especially in a slum. So they took the crow or the rook and then said, hey, this is a slum, or what we would call a ghetto probably. Comes from a Sanskrit word. If you want to know why that's up there, you can ask Mr. Goddard later. This is a non sequitur. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Zero. But it is a funny story, I think. All right. Of Scripture, just review. Why do we do this review? This is like the 100th time we've done this. So we know it. Humans work through repetition. So what do you know about Scripture? It's God's word. It's how he reveals himself. So it's God talking to us. How we know what we know about God. What about the Holy Trinity, God and the Holy Trinity? What can you tell me about God? Three persons, one God, three persons. What about God? Good guy, bad guy? Totally good. I like it. Totally good guy. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable. Only living, true, perfect God. He's it. All right. God's decree? He knows. Predestined. Creation? God created all things in how many days? 6 days. I'm sure you got it. It's all good. God made all things in 6 days. It's all good. Providence. God's protective care. He is our heavenly Father in that true sense of fathering us and taking care of us. He is in control. There's a comfort there, yes? Okay, note to the thing I said before. If someone's in absolute control, is that a comfort to you? It is, unless what? Unless you're a bad person, what? Unless you don't like who's in control. And why do we usually not like who's in control? Pride. Who do we want to be in control? Right? If you're okay with not being in control, then it's okay. Segway, sidebar, on vacations, for years we took vacations, and I would do all this planning and prepping and PowerPoints. Kidding. Krista's like it. And it was laid out, right? And then we go on vacation, and guess what happened? These people. We have to be up at 7:15 if we want to make it to the big satellite that was in the James Bond movie. We want to go see that. It's in, not Aitutaki, Arecibo. Arecibo, Puerto Rico, we want to go see that, and we didn't make it. What I've done now is I still do that because I'm like that, but the PowerPoints are done for the Florida trip coming up, and guess what I do with them? I gave them out last week, and guess what I do? I'm not in control anymore, right? And it's a silly little, I really do make PowerPoints for my vacation, day by day, little pictures, all that kind of stuff. But now I'm out of control because what? Guess what problems it caused before in our vacation? A lot of marriage problems, is ours. Just problems in general, because I was supposed to be on vacation. I was angry because nobody was doing what I said, and I'm supposed to be in control, and I clearly was not in control because I was outnumbered sometimes 8-1. All right. Point is, there's a comfort to that when someone else is in control and you're confident that they're perfect. That's none of us as humans, obviously. All right, fall, sin, and punishment. We are totally dirty. Why? Sin from whom? Adam, our first parents, right? So our first parents were totally dirty sinners. We are totally dirty sinners. And every single sin, even though only if you commit one, it deserves death. God's covenant with man, there's two, covenant of works, covenant of grace. Covenant of works was if you sin, you will die. We broke that. We all have broken that. The second one is God sending a redeemer, the covenant of grace, to save us, a substitute for our sins. He died for us. Christ is mediator, go between, good. He fills that gap that we've created through our sin. Free will, think of the life preserver, the dummy and the life preserver. Not the dummy, the dead person and the life preserver. We have the liberty but not the ability. Sherry, what'd you say? God converts sinners. So we're not free to do, we are free, but we lack the ability to do it. So the dead person in the water cannot grab that life preserver. He's free to grab it, but he lacks the ability. And that's the quickening by God, which is part of the effectual calling, which means it works. God calls and it works. If he calls, you're enabled to be saved. 11. Inseparable graces. Ongoing. Good. We're getting this one. Good. Ongoing. And allow us to be justified. That's the act initially. Justified by God, by Christ's death. And then sanctification is us being more and more like Christ. Little by little, by little. We talked about that a little last week when we talked about hypocrisy. That's when we struggle as Christians. Christians are hypocrites. Humans are hypocrites. Christians are humans. So we struggle with that. Number 12, justification. One time, judicial event by God, where God treats us as if we've never sinned. We're clean. We're not totally dirty anymore. We're not polluted. Of adoption, part of God's family, which gives us all the stuff you said last week, or somebody said, and I like that. I should have changed it. We get all the stuff. All the stuff is his attention, his pity, his comfort, his grace to us, everything he gives to us. Sanctification. Ongoing process of becoming more and more like Christ. Progress, we're getting holier and holier, Lord willing, by his grace again. Good works, two parts of this. Works cannot pardon sin. So that's one of the struggles the Catholic Church has, is with the indulgences back hundreds of years ago. You could pay the priest and get your sins forgiven. Doesn't work like that. What's the other piece about believers? Do we do good works all the time? No. Do we do it sometimes? If we do it sometimes, why are we able to do that? God's grace, right? It's only that. Believer, it's an evidence of our lively faith. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We will know Christians by their works, says Kyle. Kyle, you're dismissed. You can go sit in the car. We will know Christians by their love, right? That's really the indicator. So if you see someone that is unloving, yeah, we need to work on that. Do we need to work on that? Raise your hand if you need to work on being more loving. Everybody should raise both hands, right? We're bad at that. I think I've told you in my car I have a sticky note and it says two words, be kind. How dumb am I that I have to have a sticky note to tell me that every day? Be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind. It's not in me to be kind, naturally, and how I was brought up was not to be kind. Why not? How do you think I was brought up? Like all of us, to be protective of myself because I'm selfish. Somebody's going to get you. Somebody's going to take your stuff, right? If it's not nailed down, it's yours. I was taught this. If it's not nailed down, it's yours. And if you can pry it up, it's not nailed down, right? So that's an active one. The reactive one is, wait a minute, everybody's going to do that to me. Everybody's going to try to take my stuff. So I need to be protective. I need to be mean before I don't want to be vulnerable because they're going to get me, attack me. All right, of preservation of the saints. This is where we finished up last chapter. True believers cannot fall from grace. So if we're truly chosen, if we're truly elect of God, click, we cannot fall from grace. But do we struggle with sin as believers still? Yes. And this is the biggest, I said last week, I think Gandhi said the biggest problem with Christianity is Christians. And it's because we're sinful and we sin, and they're looking at us saying, wait a minute, that person says they're a Christian. They say they read the Bible. They go to church, blah, 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 blah. But look what they just did, right? And that's a stumbling block. Our behavior can become a stumbling block for someone else. All right. So last week we started in on section 17, which is, what did I say, 8 pages condensed into 100 slides. So we went through the first one. We're going to define all those yellow words. So although hypocrites is the word we defined last week, and other and regenerate, I'm not going to read through it. What did hypocrite mean as a reminder from last? This was just last week. Two-faced, right? Acts one way, talks one way, acts another one. A person who puts on a false appearance of goodness. So our actions don't match their words, and you've heard it probably before. Actions speak louder than words, right? Or have you ever heard someone tell you, do as I say, not as I do. It should be do as I do, but what we say is do as I say, not as I do. That's a famous parental failing, in my opinion. Do as I say, not as I do. That's saying I'm a hypocrite as a parent if you say those phrases. All right. So this is interesting. We didn't get to it last week. So I used Dr. Google to find the definition of hypocrite. And there it is up there. A person who indulges in hypocrisy. Okay, I got that. And I zoomed in. I was like, wait, what is that example they used? That's in the Google. It's talking about me. I was very convicted. I was like, why would Dr. Google put me in the hypocrite example? So I wrote a letter to Mark Zuckerberg. We're going to find out why that happened. No, that is, you pull up Google it and I'll be in there. I'm in the Google. Right? Cheap and hypocrite. Right. Everybody thinks I am one way, but I'm not. All right. Next word, unregenerate. What do you think of her? Not born again, says Art. What else?
Not alive.
Not alive. What else? To the point of no return. Is that a Kansas reference? Yeah. How long? Joey knows it. Joey's doing the drum beat already. Point of no return. Generate would be to start, says Kyle. Start again. Never started? Never started again? All right, he's digging deep into etymology, so we'll jump down to what Kyle was talking about. Un means not in Latin. If you see the word un in a word, you can know it means not. Re is again. Look at Kyle. It's an A for A. And generare, I don't speak Latin, so however you say that in Latin, is born. So you have un, reborn, not, born again. Somebody said that. I can't remember who it was. I know who it was. He's been told not to answer first because he's a pastor and he has a theological degree. I still remember, I'm making fun of you, but I'm going to put it in context. I remember Bob sitting back there and I'd be, Rick or somebody would be teaching and he'd be like, we know you know the answer. All right, so not born again, unrepentant. So if you put it in context of what we're talking about, it says, although people who put on false appearances of goodnesses, which is hypocrites, goodness, and others are dead in sin men. I know that's grammatically incorrect, but it fits with what we just talked about is definition is dead in sin, so I'm keeping it. All right, let's go on to the next word, which is vainly. Vainly means whatever. There's lots of hints up there. There's a weasel in a cardboard shirt. It's a P.G. O'Rourke reference. There is the word okay, the word empty, which we did last week, but because we took a long time, I never got to it, and the word lasagna. Pointless, says Liz. It's useless. P.G. O'Rourke says that's as useless as a weasel in a cardboard shirt. I don't know what that means. But the word okay, do we need the A-Y? No. Do we need the M and the T? Excuse me, the E and the P and the Y and empty? No, it's right there, empty. And lasagna, there's no sense for the G. It still doesn't make sense even if you take the G out. Lasagna. Yeah, they need to work on that. It is Italian, I'm aware. All right, so vainly means it's useless. It produces no results. Do we use this word?
Yes.
Where do we use it? I don't use it often. Making yourself pretty, that's where I usually hear it. Is it someone saying, well, she's vain or he's vain? And it means they care about their looks more than they care about other parts of their personality. Kyle has a comment or question. Shallow. Shallow. So vain, I'm going to talk about Plato a little bit. Well, the Greek fans are going to be excited. Socrates, Aristotle. The dough, the stuff you make. I'm going to talk about Aristotle. Maybe that helps. So Aristotle put arts. He talked a lot about arts. The arts. We hear that a lot. And he put them in two categories. The fine arts and the sham arts. And a fine art is something that actually makes something better. It improves it. A sham art that is something that covers up whatever it is to make it look better. When I was in college learning this concept that I'm talking about right now, there was a woman in our class, I'm not going to name her name, and she was a beauty queen, not joking, like the sash and the thing, like I can't do it. She was a beauty, she was the Miss This and Miss That and Miss Whatever. And the professor proceeded to tell us that fine arts are things like, in terms of the human body, it's gymnastics. You're making your body stronger, you're lifting weights, your body is actually improving. You have better muscle tone, you have better cardiovascular, your way your body processes oxygen and oxygenates your blood is more efficient. A sham art would be something like makeup. And guess what happened after that? There was a big fight because she proceeded to tell us that beauty queens is a fine art because not everybody knows how to put on the makeup and not everybody knows how to walk the right way and do the singing and etc. That was 20 literally years ago, right? I still remember it. And it's the thing I think of when I think of what is vanity. It's what is useless. Because I was looking at what she was doing, and I'm making a value judgment, thinking, from me, what do you think I thought? What a waste of time, right? What are you getting out of that? How is that? It hit me when the professor said it. I said, no, he's right. And I didn't say anything. I just kept my mouth shut. But that was what it is. It's putting something on that makes us think we're better. Last week we talked about hypocrisy and the Pharisees. Think about what they were doing. And what did Christ say about the Pharisees? He said, you are like whitewashed sepulchers or tombs full of dead man's bones, right? And that hit me too. I was like, that's a sham art. There's this deadness inside. I'm not accusing this woman of being a dead, you know, person. But there was this whitewash on the outside that made it look pristine and cute and beautiful and lovely. It's not. So that's vain. So where does that fit? Although people who put on false appearances of goodness and other dead in sin men may uselessly, there you go, doesn't have any for deceive. What does deceive mean? Lie, says Liz. What else? Why do we have a word deceive and a word lie?
Deceive means you do it to someone else.
Deceive means you do it to someone else, says Olivia. Is it possible to deceive yourself?
Yes.
So the heart is desperately wicked. You can. That's what that verse says that she's referenced. The heart is desperately wicked. And what does the next part say? It's a rhetorical question. Who can know it? And what is the answer? Only God. We can't even know our own heart. Even if we think we're being altruistic and we have great motives, we're doing something for someone else. There's still that polluted, totally dirty part of us. So deceive has the implication of misled. To lie is what I put up there because people will argue about this word, and I did it on purpose. Why are there two words? There's two words because there's two words, because we like to have lots of words for the same thing. But it is a lie. Your intent doesn't change the fact that it is a lie. In what commandment tells us about lying? What number is it? You're right, not verbal. What is seven? Correct. Nine is correct. Six is thou shalt not murder, because that's the dead person, right? Eight is thou shalt not steal, because eight looks like handcuffs. I can give you my whole list, how I remember them. I used to teach children Sunday school, so. Nine is thou shalt not bear false witness. So we're not supposed to lie, and that's to mislead by a false appearance or statement. We've talked about, skirted around fake news a little bit in this class, and is this a new concept? I see a yes. Fake news, a new concept. Okay, the younger Goddard says yes, and the experienced Goddard says, oh, now he's backing up because dad said something in contradiction. So it's not a new, the word may be new, you know, fake news that somebody branded it as that, but this has been around for how long? Forever? Since Adam and Eve, where was the first fake news? You will be like God. That's the first fake news.
You will not die.
Right? That was the first fake news. And then the second fake news was Eve telling Adam, you can't even touch it. Did God say that? No. So there's fake news. So it's deceit. Is it a flat-out lie? Yes, is the answer. But we get into arguments about that. All right, did I want to say anything else about... Do you know what Pinocchio... Pinocchio means in Italian? Pine head. Pino, pino, the word peen, pine, peen, yeah. Pino, and little, little pine head. That's why the pine tree's up there. Little pine, no, little pine eye, Pinocchio, pino, it's little pine eye. All right, that has nothing to do with the class. It shows you how my brain works. All right, so now we're up to these dead men may uselessly lie to themselves with false hopes and carnal. Carne asada. That's a hint of their asada means roasted. What does carne mean?
Meat,
right? Flesh, carnal, means meat, flesh. It comes from Latin as well. It means flesh and meat. So these are those fleshly differentiated from spiritual. You've got two camps. You got the spiritual camp and you got the carne camp. So may uselessly lie to themselves with false hopes of fleshly presumptions. What does presumption mean? To presume, to make an assumption. Good. What else? Without evidence is art. What else? Is that good? Cover it? To assume before, right?
Yeah.
So you're assuming. What does assume mean? Cogito ergo sum. Not, I think before I am. I think therefore I am. To think, as cognition, you are correct. But sumere means by, to obtain, to get. Right? It is not the same thing because there's an R in there that isn't in the word. Did I spell that wrong? No, I didn't. Presume, but if there's an R in there, presume. Yeah, there is an R in there. It's there. So to obtain before. So to believe art hit it without evidence. It's overstepping the boundaries, seize without the right. You're taking something that's not yours. In the bottom section there is Charlie Brown. If you're familiar with Charles Schwartz and Charlie Brown and that trope, what happens in that?
Every single time,
Lucy moves the ball. But why does he keep trying? Because he's an eternal optimist. He's full of perseverance, right? He keeps doing it. But there's another reason why. She always deceives him that this time it's not going to happen, right? Every single time. And then he presumes what? What is his presumption? Belief without evidence. To me, that is the ultimate example of a belief without evidence because he has so much evidence of the negative and she gives him this little piece, which isn't evidence, it's a lie, and he says, all right, this is the time that it's going to happen. So. All right, so now we're up to, although people who put on a false appearance of goodness and other dead in sin men may uselessly lie to themselves with false hopes and fleshly beliefs without evidence, being in the favor of God and estate. We got time? We got time. This one's going to get chewy, I think. What does the word estate mean?
Land.
Good, I like it. What else? When you think estate.
Condition,
I like it. What else? Did somebody say something? I see chuckling back there. No? Okay. Share with the whole group.
Well,
what?
We use the word state similarly, like the state, the way something is, the state of matter.
Do we use this word right now?
Who?
When you die, right? Is that where we hear it? What's the thing? Estate sale, right? You're looking through the, do they have newspapers still? You're looking through the newspaper? Real estate. Real estate. So we use it two places. Where else? Do we use it somewhere else? That's the only two I know of. I'm not claiming to know everything, but real estate. A will. They'll talk about it when you're doing a will. Belonging to somebody, says Sherry. What else? Estate. See, these are the ones that are, that's why I said two. We use them, but we really don't know what they mean or what we're saying when we say this. But in context of the word, of the section, let's think about it. Being in favor of God and, it should say, the estate of salvation. That should give you a hint, no? Condition? All right, look at my little picture there. Position, okay, we're getting close. That is a weird picture. That is an editorial cartoon, been colored since. It didn't have the color on it. It used to be just black and white line drawing. And if you can't see that, which you probably have trouble, is there's a dude with like a, he's got, one of his boots is intact, his other boot is falling apart, his toes are kicked the boat, as they used to say, his laces are torn out, and he's got, his clothes are ripped, you see on his forearm, he's got a tear in there, he's got this, and he's holding up these other two dudes, and on the ground is a bunch of pigeons pecking, or not pigeons, quail pecking stuff, and there's some rabbits there eating a rotten cabbage. Then on top of him is some dude, two dudes, one dude with like a fancy hat and a fancy collar to keep his neck up, this is the Shakespearean age, and then the other guy in front, you can't really see it, but he has a cross on his breast right here. He's got a double-breasted suit. They are more rotund than the other guy. The other guy is bigger than them. You'll notice there are some racial features to him, too, so if we think racism was invented recently, it's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. So there was three estates, this is in the 1700s, probably mid-70s, before this founding of this country, just right before, and you're going to probably have some clicks that go on. There were three estates at the time. There was the clergy and the nobles, and I put them on top of each other, but they didn't really differentiate. It depended on who you're talking to, who was on top. They both were on this top level. Clergy is who? Whom? Pastor, the church, any of the pastors, priests, ministers, someone that has to do with the church. It can also be a bishop or anybody associated with the church was considered clergy. They're part of this select group that goes to these select meetings and other people aren't allowed and they used to speak a different language sometimes to keep other people out. So it's a very select group. You could only get into it how? Education. You had to go to this special school and learn these special words and differentiate yourself in that way. Nothing. I'm not being pejorative, just making a statement of fact. Nobles were who? I put barons up there because maybe we know that word better. What? Monarchy? Not necessarily. The monarchs were what?
Rich
people. Why were they rich? What made them rich? The only thing that makes anyone rich anytime?
Land.
It's people who own land. So if you think about history, not in this, just in this country, but think all over history, the differentiator is landowners and non-landowners. And back in this era, there were certain people, select few, that owned land. And guess what everybody else did? They worked for them, right? And if you own land, good to go. How did you get land? I'm not going to ask that. Who was the nobles? How did you become a noble? You were born. That was it. There was no, what's that movie, The Knight's Tale, where he changes his stars and he makes up this. Or you purchased it, and how did you get money to purchase land? Theft, just as art. You either had it or you didn't. The haves or the have-nots, right? Bernie would have thrived in this era because it was a huge striation between the haves and the have-nots. And the thematic was, once you were born into a certain state, that's where you stuck, right? So a lot of times, Westerners will critique Easterners for their caste system they have. We talked last week about my Sikh friend who's taught me about castes. There's all these different castes and you can't marry. And to me, I'm like, oh, that's so oppressive. It's kind of the same thing. Let me take the kind of out. It's the same thing. It's just done in a different way. Point X is when we traveled to lots of different places, I always had to have what I called the American tax ready, which is really a word for bribe. Lots of countries I've had to bribe people to get around where I needed to get to. Years later, and I would think the things I would think about that country. You know, how dare they? Years later, in the United States, in international paper, with the head of government relations, and she tells me, Ben, if we don't give to his campaign, I will not get a meeting with him. Which is meaning, if I pay, then I get a meeting. Is that bribery? No, it's not. It's called political action committee giving matching funds, and it's the same thing. Are we hypocrites? Thank you. All right, so the three estates, it's a rank. You guys hit it all. I wanted to get into it deeper because in this context of what we're talking about, when this was written, think about when the Westminster Confession was written and have this all marinate through there. Rank, standing, condition, or possession. And it's usually a title. A title is a piece of paper that says, you are born of this, etc. Back to the Sikhs, Singh told me there is a book, and it's this thick, and you can flip through it, not kidding, find who was related to who and who was married to, and they keep these records to make sure we keep those people out, whoever they are, and so these people can stay in. So in terms of context of what's here, I'm going to start up at may uselessly lie to themselves with false hopes and fleshly beliefs without evidence of being in favor of God and possessing salvation. Does that fit? Are we in a different estate? Do we have possession of this salvation? Yeah, we do. We gain. So by gaining possession of this document, of this, it's not a document, of this estate, of this place where we are, we have possession of salvation, we have possession of the truth. Are we in a different position than other people that do not have this? Yes. Is that polarizing? Is it potentially polarizing? Yes. So we shouldn't be surprised, especially when I used all these negative examples on purpose to talk to you about it. This is one of the problems that a lot of people have with the church. Is back to Mr. Singh, his religion teaches him that all paths, as long as you're true to your path, is a good enough path, right? That's in conflict with what I believe. We're friends and we're buddies and we talk about it, but those are in conflict with one another. Are we going to be in conflict with the world if we believe what we believe based on Scripture? Yes. Our last several Sundays, we've heard about that. That persecution is part of that. What does perish mean? To die. Anything else? I think we got this one. Cease to exist. I tried to get fancy with it. To die is the correct answer, though. Enough on that. Perish the thought. Do we use this word? Does anybody use the word perish?
Yeah, vegetables.
Well, perishable. Good. I didn't think about that. Vegetables. Ooh, nice. I should have put that as the picture. Perishable. Vegetables are perishable. They will die. They will cease to exist eventually. What is the opposite product line called in marketing? There's perishable and there's... It isn't non-perishable. They're too smart for us. They break up in two groups. Radiated, not vegetables. This is the other type of products. There's two. There's fast-moving consumer goods. Durables. Durables. Durables is furniture and nuts and bolts and things like that. The reason I bring this up, because I'm giggling, because we had an argument once in a huge meeting. 400 people there at Goddard? There's a huge meeting. And they were arguing about what is considered a fast-moving consumer good and what is considered a durable. So a fast-moving consumer good would be M&Ms. Yeah, okay, maybe. Now there's another argument that's going to start. Toilet paper would be one. Something that we grind through quick. So the argument was, wait, fast-moving consumer good or durable? Somebody raised their hand and said, where are we going to put... what is it? Slim Jims. Beef jerky. Is that a fast-moving consumer good, or is it a durable? It was a joke. I'm glad you laughed. All right, so now we possess this salvation, which hope of theirs will never cease to exist. So this is coming back to bring this thing to what the whole chapter is about, is that it will not cease to exist. Because God is perfect and eternable and unchangeable, eternal and unchangeable, it's never going to pass away. So the hope that we have of heaven, the hope that we have from God's promise and plan for us will not fade away. Endeavor, I didn't put the cheat thing up there because we've had this word twice before. Try something super hard. So we add that in there. So they'll not cease to exist, picking up in the middle. Yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, try super hard to walk in all good conscience before him. May in this life be certainly assured. What does assured mean? My animation. I thought I did that. Did we have this one before?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I left the animation out. So assured is to made confident, to be made sure, to be confident that we have it. There's the root there. Trying super hard to walk, and so we can be certainly confident that these believers, these people in this group, are in a state of grace. They're covered by grace and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What's hope mean? I heard somebody say something, but I didn't hear somebody say something. But my listeners, he's supposed to go last.
Certainty.
Hope. What else? Hope. What do you think of when you hear the word hope? A wish? Wishing upon a star. Hope. A wish? What else is hope? Sherry says, I think about something like this. Cross your fingers, right? Well, I hope something in the future. Are you raising your hand for the microphone?
Yes, I think I am.
Yes, he thinks he is. He put it up, put it down. You hope to get the microphone?
Yes, I hope to get the microphone. I am having difficulty trying to define it without using the actual term.
That is a normal, feel comforted.
Which is an interesting thing because I think that hope should have more synonyms.
Okay.
But the idea of hope...
You can talk to Pastor Needham later about why thank doesn't have more synonyms because you guys are on the same page there. And then Mr. Goddard has a comment. Go ahead. He's made that comment to me that we only have X words for thankful, but this many negative words.
Yeah,
so you're
exactly
on the right track, I think.
Okay. So hope is, I believe it's both a thought and an emotion.
Okay, thought and emotion, okay. I think you're on the right track.
And it is where we believe in something, and that the belief does not necessarily have clear evidence to support it.
Okay, so a belief in something without which there is clear evidence to support it.
And the term clear evidence in this case would be somewhat subjective, because
okay.
I hope that the bus comes on time.
Got
is
it.
Different
I hope
than
Spider-Man
saying,
comes to save me.
Yeah, yeah, and different than I hope that, you know,
the
it
sun
doesn't
rises.
Rain, or that the sun rises, or that I have, or, and the other, this is weird, because there's the other way, I have hope in Jesus Christ, which is different than saying
it
I
is.
Have hope that the bus comes on time, or
Got
something
it.
Like that. They're different
there's
grades.
There's levels of hope, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah.
Do you have? You still want that? Elder Goddard, and then Judy has a comment or a question or a addition.
So I think the aspect of hope that we're looking at here is the feeling of expectation.
Feeling of expectation.
And often accompanied by a feeling of trust.
Feeling of trust.
So often we experience in this life, when a hope is not met or dashed, a feeling of betrayal often follows.
Right. We talked about that 2 weeks. So Judy has a comment, and then we'll flush out all of this, I think. We got 5 minutes.
Can you have hope without faith?
Say that again?
Can you have hope without faith?
Can you have hope without faith? No, I hear no's. Any yeses? I see a hand raised.
So then are they anything alive?
Oh, I'm not agreeing with the no's yet. Just
okay.
yet. there's a question or comment. Is this on this, or are you going to go somewhere else? This is on this. Can you microphone him over there? So the question is, can you have hope without faith?
Of course you can have hope without faith.
Of course, he says.
It's illegitimate. It won't be probably fulfilled. But the world is full of hope that's spurious and ephemeral. And
nobody knows what those words mean, but I hope I find $1 million when I walk outside. Is there really faith behind that's going to happen?
No, but
it still is a hope. I hope. I hope I get an A on this test, even though I'm not going to study at all.
But
inshallah, was that the word, Rick, in the Arabic? Inshallah, if God wills. But what was it? Inshallah, we'll get there. Well, did you put gas in the car? Inshallah, we'll get there. We have to put gas in the car.
So as just
faith is putting gas in it. Go ahead. Talk to us about spurious.
Just as there is legitimate faith and illegitimate faith, there's legitimate repentance and illegitimate repentance.
So now we're putting a capital maybe on hope? Do you think there's two, a capital hope and a small H hope?
No, I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but if you're careful in definition, I suppose you could go that route, sure.
What does spurious mean? You used that in the group Lost Dust.
Spurious
me included.
Means false.
False.
Having the appearance of legitimacy, but ultimately being not valid or authentic.
Okay. Got it. So, we have... Are you wanting to say something or no? No? So, there's hope. We've heard lots of things about belief, right? It's a thought process. Can be false. Do we have false hope? We heard this before, right? Do we use this word? It was used in a political campaign several years ago, right? Hope, which implies what about the current campaign? negative things, right? If I hope this gets better, I hope, if I have hope, it's usually implying, hey, something negative is going on. So what I came up with is the Low German, I put up there on purpose, hop, is a leap in expectations. That's where the root comes from. Fascinating to me. Our English word comes from this Low German word that is a leap in expectations. And I have a couple of pictures up there. Sherry, you way ahead of me with the, I hope this happens. And then that little ring on the finger thing. We're going to talk about that, I think. Future promise is the word we're going to use. And then confidence in the future, expectation of something positive happening. So if you think about in context of what we're talking about, it is hope in God. So this is a biblical or spiritual hope that we're talking about. I do think there are several levels of hope or several concepts of hope that can be accurate or correct, but not godly. And then there's some that are godly, and this is a future promise, right? So if you have, if I promise you something, as a let's put it in parental context, a parent promises their kid something. We're going to go to, I'll let you finish it because I don't want to. Museum? I heard McDonald's in a museum. Well, Krista, which would you rather go to? That's why I didn't want to say a place, because it's whatever you want to go. We're going to go to, what are you doing to that kid? Giving them hope, right? An expectation. You're saying, this will happen. And sometimes we tie it to something. If you get good grades, I'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese. If you, then. If then, if then. And that's giving them this hope of something that's going to happen. It's a future promise. We act now. In the future, this will happen. Think about that political campaign. If you vote for me, these things positive will happen to you and your family, and et cetera, et cetera. That, putting that ring on the finger, what is the hope there? Marriage, right? Have you heard of a hope chest? Is this still a thing? Okay. Okay. Yes. In some circles, it is. Okay. Men don't know what a hope chest. If you're a male, if you identify as male, if you're a male, and you know what a hope chest is, raise your hand. Look at that, see? You guys are wrong, it's like 80%. Rusty, you don't know what a hope chest is? Kind of. Okay, yeah, it is in certain circles, it's not everywhere. But it's this chest, I had one sister that had one and the rest didn't, and it was a place she put the stuff that she wanted to get, something about getting married. I really don't know what it is. It's a box and she put things in there. And it was marriage thought things, right? So, but it was this future promise. She was a kid, she was little, but she was hoping this would happen. And she wanted her wedding to be like this and have this and this and that and that. So let's put it in context. We're gonna pick up in the middle. To exist and yet as truly believe in the Lord and love him in sincerity, trying super hard to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly confident that they are in a state of grace. There's that confidence there. We're in this state. We are secure. And may rejoice in the future promise of the glory of God, which hope shall never make them ashamed. So this, back to what the definition of this future promise, we're going to say we rejoice in this future promise, and this future promise should not make us ashamed. The reason I bring this up is that estate thing, it has that tendency, for me at least, to make me feel that way because I feel bad, using that word on purpose with like quotes around it, feel bad for people that aren't in this estate. What should that spur me to do if I see somebody that's not in the estate that I am? Share with them, witness, tell them, right? So the hope, that's what this is talking about. Not only shouldn't we be ashamed, it should spur us to say, hey, let me tell you about what I know. I'm in this good estate, and you can be too. Because why? It's nothing in me that made me lovable. God chose to do that. So it's something we should freely share. This isn't talking about witnessing. When I was going through this, I was like, this is talking about witnessing. It's saying not be ashamed. What's the opposite of not being ashamed? Posting it, you know, putting all the stuff out there, showing, being vulnerable, putting yourself out there. So I think I'm over minutes. I am over, 2 minutes over. Let's pray. We'll pick up before we pray. We're going to pick up here next week, 2 weeks from now, right? So next week we'll pick up on the pigeon version, and then we will talk about, and then we will take a break. Pastor Fox will give us the report on General Assembly on the 1st, on August 1st, and then we'll come back and pick up chapter 17 on the 8th, Lord willing. Let's pray.